Okay, testing. We have levels. We have liftoff. Welcome, everybody.
All right, so where are we going today?
We're going to go into the Bible.
Okay, that's always good.
With all my smart aleck peanut gallery people here.
Yourself.
We're going to look at, we did John 6 in the service this morning. I think we're probably going to do, because it's me, it's going to be John 5. But I want to look at a little bit in 4. And so we were talking a little bit about how this stir up, the mixing up with the religious culture happens. And it starts out fast and keeps going.
Yeah, the whole eat my flesh, drink my blood thing, that was not really a crowd pleaser.
No, it didn't. It did not please the crowd at all. It was one of my favorite sayings. Well, Gail, if I did say Brat Capshaw, it was a Freudian slip, maybe. But I digress. let's look at he has just turned the water into wine and some other stuff.
Okay, so you're in John 4. Gospel of John.
After 2 days he departed thence.
4:43,
yeah. And went into Galilee. Somebody could type that in there. And, maybe I can. I could, if I could see it.
John 4:43.
There we go. That's okay. We edited it out. I didn't type it into the chat. How did you let me do that? Too many moving parts on this thing. I tell you what. Okay. But I did succeed in losing my place. Okay. Now, after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went into the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went into him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down, or my child, die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way.
That was an odd response to a question to heal your kid. What?
Yes, it was. But you know, As odd as that response was, that's not what pricked my interest here. My interest here was pricked by the fifth verse 50. I'm not sure that would have sufficed. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Yeah. Yeah, let me... Mind if I verify that first?
Before you take off, can we double check on that one?
Yeah. Just in case there's a warranty.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. The lack of belief that I would have there. Can we double check? Just come down. Let's just make sure this is the case.
Yeah.
And you got to know that. But that 48, to me, that's troublesome. He says, come heal my son. He's at the point of death. And then Jesus says, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. So it's hierarchy of importance here.
The thing is, with this guy, he believed and saw nothing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the guy has a great testimony. The nobleman?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a contrast between the crowd
and him
that he's fixing to run off in six.
Oh, okay. I got you. So he's fixing to point out to the crowd that they're there for the son.
Yeah, that was not for the nobleman. No, that was not for him.
Okay. Well, yeah, and you see that in his response. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down or my child died. Look, I know the healing comes from you. Look, if you don't come down, my child's going to die.
Yeah.
Please. Right now, I just want your healing, your mercy. It's important.
And then Jesus didn't come down. Jesus just said, go that way, that son living. And the guy believed. Which speaks well of him. That's on line with what was the centurion?
Yeah.
Where he said, I'm a man under authority. I say to one, go. And Jesus said, I have not seen so great faith, no, not in Israel. So this is...
Along those lines, because he said it, believed it, and it was so.
And that nobleman was a man of faith.
It's possible the nobleman was Roman.
It didn't really say.
Which would have made him, perhaps, a Gentile.
What does nobleman mean, anyways? What does it mean by nobleman? They're labeling him as a nobleman. I don't know what that really...
Mr. Nope. Got Rocks?
No, noble class was in some way recognized as servants of the king. They were the rewarded with gifts and property and that kind of thing. They were special. And that was who kept selling Mel Gibson out in Braveheart.
Oh, yeah.
With the nobles.
That was a great flick.
And I knew somehow I'd work Braveheart into just something you can do. let's see. Ooh. He was now going down. His servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. They inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee.
You know what?
So that was a confirmation, but he believed. Then he knew.
Then his whole house was converted because they believed as well. Mm-hmm. And these, you got to get the people who were at the house. They didn't go out to meet him.
No.
That I know, it doesn't say. But, you know, I mean, it just by Jesus' word, minister the gospel throughout the whole house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you see this, you know, the father asks, he believes that he received, and he was content to go back without Christ with him. And then after it was confirmed that this miracle had taken place, what is it like? He believed even more? Or he told his house, it says, and then the whole house believed.
Well, his inquiry wasn't... It was like a second witness to the first thing happening. And he wasn't asking out of unbelief, he was asking to be able to show them. See, that's the hour where he said, your son, that's when it was.
And that happens with us too, because we'll have some need, and the need gets met, and then we look back and we realize the Lord came through just like I knew he would, and then we believe better, I guess.
So, we move into John chapter 5. After this, there's always, you know, what was the after part? What was the part referring to? Well, we got a little taste of what this was after. There was a feast of the Jews, and the Jews went up to Jerusalem. Yeah, go figure. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethsaida.
Bethesda.
Bethesda. There's too many moving parts here. Having five porches, in there lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man there, which had an infirmity, 38 years, when Jesus saw him lie and knew what he had, that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Really? Yeah, I think so.
38 years later, I'm committed.
That would work. I could live with that. Really, the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." And Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." All right, now see, this is going to stir him up again. And it's always this, you know, this is an action-packed thriller here. take up thy bed and walk. Where was I? I was...
Bigger than 5'9".
And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go again. Now, the guy, in response to Jesus, did what he told him to do. And just electing to get that process underway was an act of faith, because rise and what?
Well, lying there by the pool was an act of faith. This guy, from like Malachi to Matthew was 400 years, and you don't really hear much from the Lord, but apparently through this time, you have this angel disturbing the water at this pool.
Mm-hmm.
And this fella, he knows there's no other hope for him but in God, but he also knows he doesn't even have the ability to get in the water.
And that's, of course, who Jesus mixed it up with. The guy whose only hope was Jesus.
He's hoping in God. He doesn't have the capacity to even reach out to God. That's us. We're lost in sin. We don't even have the capacity to reach out. And it's God that works in us to will and to do. It's Him that calls.
And He had that... He was there because He expected.
Even though He had no... He expected the Lord to move, but He had no expectation of His own ability to do it.
Right. But He expected, and He believed that if He got in that water and it hit Him, He would be healed. You know, and Jesus opens up with, "Will thou be made whole?"
Yes, sir.
And then, you know, he tells him, you know, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." There's that belief, and then there's that action and the belief that he takes, because he does it.
Yeah, he got up.
He obeyed. Believed the word and then obeyed.
Well, so it was the Sabbath, and he was doing a no-no.
Healing people.
Yeah, breaking the law.
Breaking the law by shedding the love of God on the masses.
The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." This guy's been laying down in the same place trying to get healed for 38 years. You think these people might have known this guy? They weren't the least bit troubled by the fact that he was walking around carrying his bed. You're breaking the law.
Paul, let me stop right there. I mean, I'd go, "I think I paid my dues on the not working part for 38 years.
Yeah.
I'm walking today, Bubba." Praise God.
Duh. Me.
Sorry, that's what would be occurring in me. I'm like, "You serious?"
I'm guessing.
You know,
not lawful to carry my bed. What? Really? Oh, me. This is...
Yeah, don't drift off into the vernacular. You did good all the way through church.
Wow. All I can tell you is you're going to love national health care. Okay.
You just had to.
He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." And this is just throwing him under the bus, is what this is called. Then asked they him, "What man is it that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?"
Did you miss the guy that made me whole part?
No, come on. That's not what was going through my head. It's like, then they asked.
It's me, the crippled dude.
Then asked they him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" All right, let me go back 11. That's what I meant to go to. He answered them, "And he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." The same guy.
That would be the one. The one I'm throwing under the bus a minute ago. Now I'm starting to say, you know what? He's just, you know, y'all are really looking out for him. You seem to have a burr in your saddle. All right. "And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away." He snuck out. "And a multitude was in that place." You know, he was a crowd. He didn't want to be in the crowd. He took off. "Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art me." Why do you suppose he sought him out in the temple?
He wasn't done with it.
Yeah. But he also knew that he was being given the debriefing by the Pharisees. And he wasn't really passing the debriefing session well. So, you know. Jesus found him.
This next part bothers me.
"And said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee."
Okay, so now we know why he was lame.
"The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole."
That wasn't that a kind of a dirty, low-down thing this guy just did?
No.
He could have just kept his mouth shut. Why'd he go find the Jews and say, "Oh, the guy that made me whole and told me to break the Sabbath is Jesus"? Why'd he do that?
I think, well, Jesus didn't tell him, don't do it.
No. But the guys, if he's got a lick of sense, he knows these Jews he's talking to do not have Jesus' best interest at heart.
Well, let's see.
Well, he also got a sinner. In fact, he was on the by the pool for 38 years. It's not like that he was knowing what was going on. I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know.
There's no indication here that he had any knowledge. He didn't understand why the Pharisees were even interested.
You know, yeah, I just don't know. Oh, yeah, you wanted to know who the guy was. It was Jesus that did this. You know, I don't know if it was to throw Jesus under the bus or get him. You know, I don't know. I wouldn't say that. Right.
"And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on Sabbath day." Absolutely. Let's see, what was the phrase I was thinking of? No good deed goes unpunished. Let's see. "Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Okay. They're already upset. They're going to get even more upset. "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his father, making him equal with God. They know.
Yeah, they caught that.
Yeah, they sure did. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now,
heavy statement.
This was his mission, to do what the Father wants him to do. And the Father shows him what to do, and he does it. And it would be nice if we were like that.
Sometimes.
The chasing rabbits. You think we're chasing rabbits there, Bob? I don't know. Let's see. Father loved the Son and showeth him all things that that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. In other words, you know, he's given me all the stuff to do, and I'm doing it. And you think this stuff was disturbing you? Wait until I get. When will I get underway here? You haven't really seen anything yet. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. He gives life to whom he will. Now, that's a pretty interesting and bold declaration to be making in front of people that are looking for a reason to throw rocks at you till you're dead.
Yep.
For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now, I looked this word up. That's where judge and judgment, judgeth, and you know, various forms of the English word. They're all different numbers, but they all have a couple things in common, and one of them is there's a selection,
choosing.
Yeah, a righteous and right. For instance. He selects whom he will. In other words, he's a discerner of where his people are, and he chooses the ones the Lord has sent him, the Father has sent him.
Yeah, you just saw that at the pool. There were all manner of lame and impotent folk laying there, and he selected the one guy.
Yeah. So, the Father judge no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Uh-oh. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him.
All right, so he said the Father's committed all judgment to the Son. And then 23, that. This is the case so that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father.
Yeah, that was the purpose in all that.
And that right there, if you're honoring the Son even as you honor the Father, makes him no less than the Father.
Right.
And this is troublesome to a lot of people because they see Jesus in subjection to the Father, and yet Jesus is equal to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus is God.
One God.
You know, one God. And he's there standing before him and thinking, you're going to come another way but by me, you know, I'm standing here to you face to face, that which you say you serve and you don't, you reject me, you know. And it's like a click of the divinity there. It was the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Man,
yeah.
Is Jesus.
And I mean, the Lord our God is one Lord, Deuteronomy 6:4.
You know, so it's seeing that they don't want him being received as that by anybody, because they're afraid to lose their place and position. And he's declaring that truth right there to them, and they hate it.
Yeah, he doesn't fit the picture. It's not what they want. And the backside of 23, he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which is sinneth. That tells you right there that some sort of pseudo-Christian religion like Mormonism that makes Jesus the highest created being or something like that, you're out. Because if you don't honor the Son as you honor the Father, that's it. You're done.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life.
Or you could say, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath everlasting life.
That's the next chapter, yes.
Yeah, but it's the
same. It's the same burning in the ears of the Pharisees thing. But, you know, in the element is in the word judgment, to get back to that for a second, there's also an element of conviction and condemnation and a holding to right standards. So, you know, there's all that's going to start mixing in here as he goes through. Has everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's a pretty big transition.
Well, and he had just said,
just in his word,
Christ had just said, it's up to him to make that choice. The selection is up to Jesus.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live.
Well, there's three of us sitting here that fall into that.
Absolutely. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. I have life, and I can impart it to you. All you got to do is receive it.
A man's soul is immortal. Or a man's soul is eternal, but not immortal. Because without the Son, you don't have life.
That's the point of him coming down, was that he can give us that life.
Yep. And that's this creative, I spoke it into existence life. I'm the one. I have the righteous position to sit here, pick whom I will. He's given me the authority. He sends me the people, I pick them, and we carry on. And his judgment is righteous, and it's as final as he makes it. You know what I mean? If he says you're out, or he doesn't even answer your question. If he's like 400 other people there at the pool, he walks up to this guy, and I'm guessing, I don't know, some number of other people there.
Many.
But nobody's interested in helping him. And he only talks to the one guy. If there was two there, you still want to know why he only talked to one guy, right?
That was the one guy that couldn't physically go down there and do anything.
Right.
That I know of.
Well, we don't know. There may have been others that couldn't. doesn't say so. It's speculation, but, you know, it doesn't. It's still interesting that you picked out that one. But he was righteous in so doing. They that hear the voice of the Son of God shall hear and live. But those that, the dead that, oh gosh. The hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He has the authority, the righteous authority, to execute the right will of the Father. His decisions are binding.
Well, he has the authority to judge because it's given to him because he's God.
But to make discernments of what is right and what is wrong, what is just and what is unjust.
And in 27, because he is the Son of Man,
yep.
So he has the authority because of who he is, but he has the right because he's been subjected to everything we've been subjected to. Nobody can ever appear before the throne of Christ and say, oh, you just don't know, it just couldn't be done.
Right.
Because he is the Son of Man.
Marvel not at this, for first, for the hour is, geez, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto resurrection of life, and they have done evil into the resurrection of damnation. Now, that's interesting as well. Those that have done good have believed in the Father and have believed in whom he sent.
So, he's saying if you've done good, you come out to the resurrection of life.
Yeah.
So if you have done good,
well, I looked that up too, and this is, it could just as easily be said, those that have done well. In other words, they have observed the will of the Father and done it.
Yeah, you've committed yourself to Christ with an agape love.
Right.
So if you're doing good, I mean, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, even if I went so far as to give my body to be burned and have not love, it's nothing. So you could have people that are doing good that to the society around them, they might really question that.
That have done good. If you look at, you said, Corinthians 13, the words charity, Lord's agape, it's agape love of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And what that choice is preferring God and serving him above all things. Right. That's the only way you do well. And then it's really works in the stance of you make that choice and he gives you that love.
Yeah, faith that works by love.
He gives you that love which you can perform by. That's really the only
something is even higher that's at root here. And what's the higher thing is that you have determined who is going to rule your life. Is it going to be the Father and his Son, or are they going to be your master, or are you going to reserve the right for yourself to call the shots for your life? And that's the good and evil thing that's going on here. So the evil is like he talks about, the evil heart of unbelief. The evil just doesn't believe. He hasn't committed, turned over the lordship of his life to be run for the purpose of serving and pleasing the Father and him who he sent. So it is like the works out of James is what's being talked about here. It's not the good and evil that we think about.
Yeah. As we see.
Right.
Well, and that's what I was trying to hit there.
Yeah.
You make that choice. He gives you all the other things. It comes from him. You know, you go to 15 where without me you can do nothing. You know, this doing good is making him master and choosing him and submitting unto him. And the only way you can do good is through him and what he's given you, and it comes from him anyways. It's a choice of doing
right
and preferring him, making your master.
It's like
that's all on your part is the choice.
The good works that we honor and reverence today in today's world, it's very important to the doer of these works to be recognized for it, to be seen doing it. And, you know, that's part of the deception that is in that idea of doing good, because you don't buy any grace with that.
No.
Because the way I'm reading that, you're either going to be resurrected and get what you deserve, or you're going to get what he deserves. And the only way to get what he deserves, like you're saying, by faith, through grace, and imputed righteousness, like Abraham had when he offered
his righteousness. It's not even, it's even better than imputed righteousness, which I may have said today in the service. Not imputed righteousness. This is the righteousness. This is his righteousness. And he covers us in that.
Yeah. It's a cloak.
Yeah. So, it, you know, it's a good deal. We just don't know. We just don't know how many different ways the world has perverted all of these concepts, unless somebody's around to point it out and show us. That's what we're doing here. That's why we do what we do.
Well, we sang that song today, I'll love the Lord with all my heart, all my mind, all my strength. But you're talking about the mind of man determining what's good, and we don't have the ability. We don't. Mm-hmm. If you're going to love the Lord with all your mind, you're going to have his mind in order to love him back.
Yeah. That that sounds like circular reasoning, Brett. But you're right.
Well, Gail's got a note in the chat. Doing good is not truly according to the acts, but the motives of the heart behind those acts.
Yeah,
even our motives are tainted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aside from his mercy and grace, the best man on his best day is altogether vanity. That's what Solomon said.
Yeah. So, the other thing here in verse 29 is both of you get, whether you believe or not, you get resurrected.
Oh yeah, it's coming.
It's just not going to. It's not going to be the kind of thing you wanted, necessarily.
Yeah.
Because that resurrection to damnation? That's the final judgment. That is no returning from here. Is that your final answer? Yeah. Well, you're wrong. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me.
Now,
the application of this is, I pick what I do, to whom I do it, and it's righteous. And I have the discernment and the knowledge of my Father mind, and I do these things because they're his will.
And that's where he is the example of that. And in the state of man that he is, he puts himself the same as we are, as far as without me you can do nothing. You know, he puts himself, the only reason why this is right and righteous is because it's the will of the Father.
Right.
And, you know, of my own self. And that's the same place we come to. Of my own self, we are not righteous. We can do nothing. And it's like, the answer of it is because of what Jesus did in his righteousness.
And it's so easy for us to
get. That's the doing good there, is I believed on what you did for me is sufficient.
To him that worketh is the reward reckoned, not of grace, but of debt. Hey, let me ask you one, Paul. Okay, so Jesus made an interesting statement to a fellow one time. The guy says, good master. And Jesus responds,
why'd you call me good?
Yeah, why callest thou me good? So, and I'm pairing these together maybe correctly, but Jesus is saying that of himself. He's saying, my judgment is right, is just, because I'm judging as I hear the Father. So I'm thinking Jesus is in flesh, and yet he can do right because he's doing what the Father tells him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, it sounds
he
like
has
Jesus,
the same choice. He can run afoul of the Father's will by choice. Just it's not going to work out real well for him.
So Jesus had the capacity, as a man, as we do, he had the capacity to choose other than the Father's will, which would be sin.
Yeah.
He never did.
Right. Otherwise, because he had that capability, he couldn't, in the flesh, be good.
So his walk on this world,
it's like you didn't take my life from me. I lay it down, and I can pick it up again.
And he walked. I know we're called to walk as he walked, but in this sense, he walked as we walk, with the same threat of rebellion hanging over him. He could have rebelled against the will of the Father if he chose.
All right, then we'd be toast. But he could have.
I brought that up. I've heard it taught that he was God. It had to be this way. I've never seen it like that, because he, by fulfilling the law, he condemned sin in the flesh. While he was in the flesh, as we're in the flesh, he fulfilled the will of the Father every time. And because he did that, there's now truly no excuse for us.
Right.
That was where I was going with that.
All right. Where are we at?
27?
Really?
No, I'm sorry.
Thought we were 31.
31, you're right.
Yeah. I can't. Well, I can of my own self, do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. It's just important to me that we do that one again. There's a lot in there. If you are operating in the same mind, if you're hid with Christ and God, then you seek not your own will, you seek to please Him.
And if you're seeking your own will, even if it would seem in your mind to be a right and correct thing, he says, because, you know, I hear, my judgment is just, because I'm not seeking my own will. So if we're out here trying to do what we think is right things, we're seeking our own will. The only
thing, unless we're doing his will. If we know what he said to do, and we do it every chance we get, then we're...
So we have to lay down even what we consider to be correct desires and desire only His will.
Right.
To walk as He walks.
He's about to stir them up some more. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, this is the Jesus in the flesh. If all I'm doing is bearing witness of what you see right here, then this, the witness is not true. I'm supposed to be showing you the Father. That's what my job is. And it's about His will and His glory. And there's another that bears witness of me, and I know that witness, that the witness which he witnesses of me is true.
Yeah, and that is the Holy Spirit and the works he does it by, is it?
No, that's not what he's talking about here.
Is it?
But I've read on, so we haven't gotten there yet. But there's another verse. Ye sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I receive not the testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. In other words, testimony of man isn't going to help you, can't save you. My testimony of the Father can.
Yeah.
My word can save you. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. He's still talking about John. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. It's proof. I'm doing what he sent me to do. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not.
Ouch.
Ouch. Search scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He's talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about Psalms and Proverbs and all the books of the law and all the testimony of Moses in Abraham's walk and Joseph and you know, all those, just too many to name. Hebrews does a partial listing,
right.
But these people understood that the best you can do is believe, and then let him cover you. That's all you can do.
That's all. That's your choice.
And you will not come to me that you might have life. In other words, what are you thinking?
I'm here. You can choose to receive me if you want.
I receive not honor from men. In other words, just because you talk good about me doesn't mean that I'm not going to give you any preferential treatment. Oh, he was a wise guy who did a lot of good works.
Or it does you any good, because it's who the Lord
is. Yeah, he's either a nut job or a liar. I mean, if he's not who he said he is. Yes, I did edit myself again.
Well done.
Done right on the fly like that. All right. We have eternal life. Huh?
542.
Okay. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Ouch. And I am. This is some of that judgment that he knows their hearts. He knows where they're at. He knows their motives. Not good. Stinks to be them. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Yep. All he got to do is tell you, oh, I'm good. You'll take his witness. You'll receive his testimony. I'm sitting here telling you the truth. And you don't not only won't receive it, you don't even recognize it. You want to come against it. How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? You believe in each one, your honor of one another, and you won't receive.
And that's where I was going. It doesn't. That's not going to do you any good, guys.
Yeah.
It's not going to do you any good receiving honor from one another. Only good to receive honor from him, and that's just by choosing him.
Oh, he's so good. What? If you're talking about me, you must be looking at something else. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Ouch. Moses is accusing you of the Father. In other words, you're not even following the law. You're keepers of the law and you don't do it.
Don't understand it.
Absolutely. Don't understand what the purpose of it was.
That's what he said to Nicodemus. You're a master of Israel and you don't understand grace, faith, and mercy?
For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? You know, he's working himself right in to, and we didn't go into some of this six this morning in the service, but the disciples have to deal with an issue because they go down to a boat and they travel across the other side of the sea, and they see Jesus walking along the water, coming up to them, and they get scared.
Yeah.
And, the wind stirred up, and it doesn't look like they're going to make it. And, Jesus comes onto the boat, and the wind and the sea calm down.
I think they were immediately over, right, when he stepped
in. Yeah, it was like, boom, right there, as soon as he got in the boat, right there.
And,
the people who came over in other boats noticed that, Jesus wasn't in on these other boats, and, how did he get here?
Yeah.
It takes a long time to explain that. It takes several verses, but...
And this tags into what he's about to go do in 6, which you covered this morning. These last words, right here, where he says, "But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" You know, where he's talking about, when you're talking about he that eateth the flesh, unless you eat of the flesh and drink his blood, you know, you shall not be saved. I don't know the exact saying, but that the words were spirit. He was the bread. Those words is receiving those words, accepting those words, not rejecting those words. And they were rejecting them. And that's why I say you don't even know who the Father is, even though he's standing right there before him declaring it.
Right.
Because they are rejecting that which the Father was giving them.
And I think we might end it there for the day, because we have really gone through 5.
And you know, I can hit on Jane, we got a little bit of time.
We've got 3 or 4 minutes. 5 or 6 minutes.
Okay. Well, I mean, you hit on that. You know, in receiving those words, him that believeth on me shall be saved. That's believing on him, is receiving those words and doing those words. That's the belief. When you believe him, you're going to do what he says, you know. And that comes in line with James, where he says, even the devils believe and tremble because they don't receive the words and do the will. You know, it's not the same.
Well, Davey in the chat wants to know why Brad keeps adding the word. I'm not clear abundantly on that because I was talking myself. So.
Oh, because I said Christ asked Nicodemus, "You're a master of Israel, and you don't understand grace, faith, and mercy." What he actually said was... I can't directly quote it. It was something along that line. I was just trying to bring it out.
Yeah.
Pull it up.
Going there.
Oh, it said the man must be born again.
Yeah. That's what he said.
John 3. Looking for it.
Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said, "Art thou a master of Israel and know not these things?" That's all he said.
Yeah. The context, we're talking about being born again to understand.
Born of flesh. Born, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Which is a good representation that he doesn't understand what... He first represented himself. Master, we know that thou art...
But Jesus in 5 that we were reading was talking about how Moses had written of him. So these things should have been possible to understand. Yes.
David says the word also does not say to love with your mind.
Body, soul, and spirit.
That was in a song we did this morning.
Heart, mind, strength. Yeah.
All your heart, all your soul. All your heart, all your soul, all your strength, right?
Yeah. Okay. The five going into six. The setup of the bread was the feeding of these thousands that had come to see him on the other side there. And, you know, he says after he's fed them that you're still following me, but you're just following me because you got full. And that impressed you.
Yeah.
But what you don't realize is you have somebody here who can be your provision permanently if you'll just receive me. If you believe me, my testimony is true. And all I give you is what the Father has given me. And in me, you have life. But that's, you know, that's just how good he is.
Amen.
We have about a minute, and I am going to call it a week. I thank y'all for joining us.
Yeah, God bless you.
Hour of Truth.
God bless everybody.
I hope y'all enjoyed it, and we will see you next time.